You are listening to AFL Tonight, presented by ArenaFan.com, celebrating 10 years as the complete arena football resource.
Welcome to AFL Tonight. I am Tim Capper, your host of this week's edition of the AFL Tonight podcast. Interesting week. It's a record-setting week here in the AFL. All week the league was promoting what I thought was pretty funny about Clint Dozell and Andy Kelly, you know, the race to 800. And you know what? You know, all in all, that's fantastic, but, you know, who's going to reach 800 first, or who's going to be first to the 800 TD club, when, all in all, Kelly is on the shelf, and, you know, he's still 7 touchdowns short of the record. It was great, though, mind you, to see Clint Dozell having the stage to himself, and I think it showed. Specifically also with the announcers for the game, they hit it right on the head. Dozell is not a selfish player in any way. And I think one of the main things that showed it in particular was the try for the field goal at the end of the half rather than going try for the tying touchdown. Would have been sort of anticlimactic, I gotta admit, though. The 40-plus yard touchdown in the third really capped it, and I think was the best way for a record-setting touchdown to be scored. Talk about it more in a minute, just real quickly. Also here on this week's edition, 8-ball update. That damn 8-ball. How's it doing against us puny humans? Also, as usual, we have our AFL Tonight pick of the week and run-through of this week's schedule. Scoring update also, something that we have keeping track of for those of you who have been listening to the show throughout the year. And more of the same, that's all I can say. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just join in a couple of minutes and we'll let you know specifically what we're talking about. More than one thing, what happened in particular with the game this week in Dozell, and we're going to go over his just amazing stats. I mean, if you think about it, by the end of the year, he'll be that much closer to 900. And it is very possible that Clint Dozell and Andy Kelly will become the first two professional football players to pass for 1,000 touchdowns. I mean, right now, Dozell and Kelly and others, I think, you know, Shedrick Bonner's quite close to it, but I don't know if he's going to actually make the record. They are totally outpassed all of the NFL legends. Marino, Elway, Young, Montana. No, you know, they're totally taking them out of the water when it comes to this type of record. Sure, it's a pass-oriented league, but the it's interesting to say the least. And you look at his numbers, Clint's numbers. First year in the league was back in 1995 with the Milwaukee Mustangs. 3 years in Houston with the Texas Terror and Houston Thunder Bears, respectively. Grand Rapids for 3, where he did win his only title, Arena Bowl title. 2 with Las Vegas, and so far 2 with Dallas. I mean, he's... except for his first 2 seasons, which you really can't call seasons. I mean, 12 attempts first year, 16 attempts the next, you know, in Milwaukee. He has not thrown for anything less than 69 touchdowns in a season. And 69 being his low. And obviously last year, setting the AFL record at 105. But listen to how this goes. I mean, interesting stats. By the way, if you are curious to see the info, you can go over to our player page and check up on Clint's stats. We're take it currently. We're gonna, you know, 802. Currently in year 12. He's averaging 67 touchdowns a year. You take away his 2 years in Milwaukee where he got nothing. So it brings him down to 797. He's averaging almost 80 touchdowns a year. But This is how it went. 95, 96, he had 4 total touchdowns. 2 each year. 97, Clint had 69 touchdowns. 98, 80, 99, excuse me, 98, 81, 99, 80. Same amount over in Grand Rapids in 2001, he had 80. Grand Rapids in 02, 79. Then he started to sort of show how good a quarterback Clint is. First year in Vegas, he had 93. Dropped off considerably in 2005 to 78. And last year, 105, and this year he already has 44. And that's only through 7 weeks. We have a couple of quarterbacks this year who are on monster paces. Him and Greason in Florida and Georgia. On a monster pace. To possibly shatter the 105 touchdowns. Not only was the record broken, the game itself probably was marred. You gotta admit, it was a monster hit. Tony Graziani took a considerable pounding. One hit in particular, which did not come to the liking of Desperado fans, I'm sure. Graziani took a hit in the first half and was summarily sidelined. Because of that particular hit, Graziani has been placed as of today. Placed on IR with a sprained shoulder. If I'm not mistaken, IR is 4 weeks now, compared to 3. So once you put a player on IR, he has to stay on there the entire time. And rumors swirling that they are looking for another quarterback besides Justin Wood. And the name that has popped up happens to be Joe Hamilton. Question is, will he come to play, or will the soul pay him the money that has been rumored that he's been asking for? Who knows? We'll find out. We should find out very soon. And I'm mentioning it, I'm double checking to see who Philadelphia currently has listed as their second string quarterback. Graziani's still there. Okay. Nobody. Him and Justin Wood. So, should be interesting, to say the least. What happens? But either way, congratulations to Clint Dozell on becoming the first quarterback in professional history to have 800 touchdowns. He's on his way to 9. I tell you that much. Should be very interesting to see. And I think once Andy Kelly gets back to playing for the Voodoo, he will also join the club. And it will be hopefully be a race to 900 and then officially to 1,000. I got a feeling, though, I think Clint actually has the better chance at making it there. But then, you know, then again, with Kelly being rejuvenated, coming back to New Orleans, very good chance that this race could come down to the wire.
ArenaFan.com, celebrating 10 years as the Internet's complete arena football resource.
You know what? Looking at how bad the Las Vegas Gladiators are this year, you know, they were trying their NFL experiment. And as we were talking about last week, about how they got rid of Sean King and whatnot. And the team is pretty bad. Now, something came across, and they put out a press release. I don't know if it's a positive or a negative. I really think it shows how really that they are grasping at straws. But what they've done, basically, is the Gladiators have gone ahead and scheduled their final home game, which was normally to be on June 25th at 7 p.m., 10 p.m. Eastern. They've gone ahead and now moved their game to 1:30 p.m. As a promotional, get out of the Sunday, or, you know, because obviously anybody who's been to Las Vegas, especially in June, especially near the end of June, knows how hot it is in that city. It can be just downright egg cooking on sidewalk hot. Good analogy. I really think this is a grasping at straws, last-ditch effort for the Gladiators. They're not drawing specifically what they want to at their new house, the Orleans Arena. Why change this game? Why don't they change another one? The last team, there actually has been teams that have done this before. The old Detroit Drive, the Detroit Fury, actually did a Thursday game. I think it was a Thursday game at 11. It was 11 a.m. or 12 p.m., something like that. But it was done specifically for kids. Schools and whatnot. You know how when you were little, maybe you had a school where you had an outing where you went to the zoo, where you went to a quote-unquote educational movie, and it was early in the morning. I think that's exactly what they're trying to do. Grasping at straws? Yeah. What can they do? I don't know. But I guess there's one positive that came out of, not necessarily out of this, but for once there was a positive for the Las Vegas Gladiators. And just this one little clip will help us set it up.
4th and 10, the biggest play of the ball game right here. Jones brings him out of the huddle. Their own 11-yard line. Georgia up by 7 points, 19 seconds to play. Jones steps away from center. No pressure. Fires. Wide open is Davis at midfield. Tabidi still on his feet. Flips it to his teammate. And Molden will go in for the score with 7 seconds to play. Unbelievable.
I was able to finally see the a great play, by the way. Maybe if we had picked up the broadcast from the Vegas point of view, that might have been to have a little more energy or oomph to it. But this is a team that came into the Georgia game being a 21-point underdog, and Georgia barely escaped with a win. It came down to a last-second failed 2-point convert. Things could be looking up for the Gladiators. I I don't know. It just, of all the changes in the league this year, you know, free substitution, more emphasis on the on the, you know, the nickel packages, the jumbo packages, etc., because of the able to, because of free substitution, it, I guess, maybe they're finally turning the corner. The record doesn't show it, but maybe getting rid of a NFL throwaway, I guess, Sean King, I guess the best way to describe it, wasn't worth the $110,000 he was being paid for, and as I've already mentioned, it was not worthy of being paid, being paid the second most for a quarterback in the AFL, and on top of that being a rookie. But that's over. The Gladiators are now under a new regime. And it's the Brian Jones era. And on top of that, by the way, you know, top 21 points down and on the road. He, you know, for a first start, you know, going 27-37, 366-8, no picks. Maybe things are looking up. Maybe the Gladiators will finally have a winning season in Sin City. God knows they've done crap all since moving. But it goes back to the grasping of straws. I really think changing the Monday game, okay, if it's going to be geared towards kids, but another promotion, you can buy a season, you can buy tickets, hot dog, whatever, yada yada. I think it's like for $80. Last gasp effort. I wouldn't be surprised if the Gladiators went ahead and moved next season. Of course, all the claims that they're not going to. Ferraro's saying no. Jim Ferraro's saying no. They're not going to move. I right now 60-40 that they're going to that they're not going to return. Sorry, Gladiator fans, the ones that are out there, I know you are very, very loyal fans, but as many teams have shown, you cannot, I don't know, bad idea in the first place, so.
You are listening to AFL Tonight, presented by ArenaFan.com, celebrating 10 years as the complete arena football resource.
You know what, I tell you that. Last clip is old shades of the old original AFL Tonight. God, those were tough days. I really didn't enjoy, you know, I didn't enjoy it because I had to listen to, I love listening to the games on the net, but I had to go through and capture all the highlights, but that was an interesting clip to keep, and I'm glad I was able to bring it to you guys. Not very much that we have this weekend. I will. It's going to be a short show this week. Going to go ahead and talk about in particular the what's happening with the 8-ball, and you know this time last year the 8-ball was basically dominating the entire group of us up until the end of the year. I think it did end up winning the Pick'em supremacy, humans versus 8-ball. But 8-ball this year has, you know, come, you know, is down on its luck. Maybe it's because of the new rules. Who knows? It doesn't matter. Either way, 8-ball took a beating last week. Ended up going a grand total of 5-4 on the week. Overall record for 8-ball after 7 weeks is not a bad, you know, 34-28. It is now last amongst the players that are currently remaining in the Pick'em. 8-ball did drop a few slots to 119th overall. I don't think, I remember it starting, you know, through the season, through midpoint last year, it was totally dominating. But then it had a total crap session for the second half, so maybe it's gonna do a total turnaround but, you know, myself as an example, I'm having a hell of a lot better year this year than I did last. I myself was able to pick out, they go 8-1. So, either way, humans rule right now. We are all ahead of the 8-ball. If you do want to join us the next time we do the 8-ball, or if you want to join our playoff pick'em versus the 8-ball, you can send us a message. Head over to the Contact Us section, choose my name, Tim Capper, and shoot us over an email, and we'll be more than happy to join you, let you join us. Also, if there are any questions, concerns, rule clarification that you need, you can either put it in the thread that's in the message board, or same thing as I mentioned before, you can go ahead and send us an email, and we'll be able to answer those questions for you as quickly as we can get the information. So, hard to believe, we're at week 8, halfway through the season. We're at the midpoint. But we got some great games coming up. I mean, there have been some interesting developments. I mean, obviously Tampa Bay is still horrible. Orlando actually introduced their third jerseys last week. Total surprise to me. I actually had somebody tell me that they had worn them. Orlando has always seemed to be a team recently that has gone with the all black look. Black was the new teal, purple was the new black, whatever, you know. They went with the all red jersey and pants. Not a bad combination. I think the jersey itself is probably up there as the top two of the four that have been worn so far. But I really think, and by the way, there are pictures, by the way, over in the specific thread on the message board, if you want to go check it out. I really think that they should have done something different, though. I think they should have gone with the red jersey, black pants combo. I think it probably would have suited a little bit better. Either way, it doesn't matter what color they were wearing. They could have been wearing pink, for all I care. They took it to the Storm either way. Storm is just horrible this year. Their losing streak on the road is continued. It is now up to 8 games. And I can't remember the last time. It's very possible Tim Markham could have a losing season. We will have to see what happens, and it's too early to tell, but right now, one win from Tim Markham this late in the season. Who'd have thought, eh? We have 3 games on the docket. There originally were 4, but there are 3 games on the schedule for Friday. New York travels to Orlando. The pretty much improved New York Dragons, losing out by 1 point to Colorado last week. Orlando coming off that huge win. The game is going to be broadcast, by the way, on Sirius Satellite Radio. Probably we got Orlando. They are playing at the Jungle, so they probably will be the favored team. Arizona is going to be playing at Utah. Utah, one of the surprise teams in the league this year. They're looking to continue their winning ways at home. The game will be broadcast on AFLNet, and it will be broadcast locally also. Third game is the underachieving Colorado Crush. I think it's one of the few teams that has not done it right when it came to the new rules and how they were able to adjust to them. Mentioned it before. They are really a one-dimensional team. Sure, Damien Harrell is able to continue a streak, but they need to do something else. They did win. They beat a very bad New York team. I mean, they are improving. But this is a Las Vegas team that they're playing this week. They did come off a very surprisingly 1-point loss. With the change of quarterback, the Gladiators might make this game a little bit closer than what. And could they pull an upset? It's possible, not predicting it, but Colorado is at home, and they usually do play pretty tough at home. A game is also broadcast, by the way, on AFLNet. On Saturday, the game of the week, bar none, even we are choosing it right now, even though we've not gone through all the games. This is the AFL Tonight Pick of the Week, and I'm sure everybody's mentioning it too. Dallas, Georgia. right now for all the marbles. Divisional game on top of it. 1 versus 2. Uno versus dos. Un versus deux. And it's on Fox Sports Network and broadcast on Sirius Satellite Radio. Too bad it's not on a major television. It'd be nice to have the game on TV, but either way, this will be, will Dallas be able to extend their streak to go 8-0, or will Georgia be able to break their two-game losing streak? That was Philadelphia. Or will Georgia be able to knock Dallas from the unbeaten? Great game. If you're able to watch it, lucky you. And if not, you'll have to catch it on satellite radio or on the webcasting here at arenafan.com. Chicago goes to Grand Rapids. Grand Rapids, we thought was going to be a better team after getting, sitting down Bishop and getting Chad Salisbury back. They didn't show up very well versus Kansas City last week. They are going to be playing Chicago. I really don't think this is going to be much of a game. Chicago is playing a lot differently than they were last year, and they are actually playing like a champion. So I don't see much this game being very positive for the Rampage. A game that was originally supposed to be on Friday, but has changed because of the Nashville Predators game. And most likely will be, wouldn't matter anyways, because like Nashville's going to be eliminated anyways on Friday night. Kansas City is traveling to Nashville. It could be a very interesting matchup. You have Raymond Filia versus Jeff Smoker. Nashville is a better team than the record shows. Kansas City is a very big surprise this year. I think they're one of the few teams with the changes that they made. Has been one of the more improved teams in the league this year. That game is, by the way, also broadcast on AFLNet. By the way, any modifications to the AFLNet schedule, you can check out either on our schedule page at arenafan.com, or you can head over to the league website, and it will update you accordingly. Austin is hosting in New Orleans. Austin is coming off of a big-time shellacking to the Columbus Destroyers. Hopefully to get back in the winning ways. New Orleans, on the other hand, is coming off a very surprising, really a beatdown of the New Orleans Voodoo, of the San Jose Sabercats last week. Game will be broadcast on AFLNet. Should be a very interesting Southern Division matchup. Let me double check something here. It should be, as I said, that interesting Southern Division matchup. New Orleans wants to obviously keep pace with Georgia and stay at least a half a game ahead of the Orlando Predators. Game also on AFLNet. Don't remember if I mentioned that. Last game on Saturday, San Jose LA. San Jose looking to bounce back. I think the loss to New Orleans last week is a very big surprise considering how well San Jose had been playing. LA, on the other hand, is coming on themselves off of a 13-point loss to the Utah Blaze. They themselves need to continue get this win under the belts to try to keep pace, as do the Sabercats, this being a Western Division matchup, to keep pace with the Utah Blaze. Should be a very interesting game. I think probably this is, if we were to choose a secondary game, this possibly would be the our second choice of the week. And lastly, on ESPN2 and ESPN360, Philadelphia, their third straight game on Monday night, travels to a very surprising Columbus Destroyers team. And I don't know. It's going to be a little tough with Philadelphia, as we mentioned before. We'll see who they sign, or will Justin Wood start. He played very well, but just way too many interceptions. But it's understandable. I mean, we've had We've had quarterbacks come in to play one game, as example, Michael Bishop, and just play total crappy. He played very well. It just happened to be there coming up a very hot Dallas Desperados team. So as I said, for this week, and Tampa Bay is a week off, they have very well-deserved bye. Can't get any worse than what they currently are, so maybe they'll come back with a vengeance next week. Going to be tough, though. Well, we've been keeping track. Last segment we're going to do for this week. We have been keeping track of scoring in the AFL. And very interesting numbers. You know, the past 3 weeks prior to last, there was the league had scored over 1,000 points each week. Very close this week. Scored a grand total of 996 points. Still averaging for the fourth week in a row over 110 points a game. Compared to same time last year, the nine games only scored 958 points at 106.4 points per game clip. So overall for the year, at this time last year, getting this. 2006, they were averaging 101.2 points per game. This year, they are 381 points ahead for a grand total of 67.54, and the league right now is scoring 108.9 points a game for an average of 7.8 more than 2006. So much for the rule changes, eh? We will, as normal, keep track of this and bring you up to date each week through the end of the year. If you have any suggestions on what you need to, what you'd like to know about, again, just email us. Just email us. Head over to the contact us section and choose my name, and see if we can get that to you. Sorry for the short show this week. Sometimes I go through a total writer's block on what we're going to bring up, and sometimes I won't. It's actually a slow week. The only thing I do want to say before I go is the tragedy at Virginia Tech. Everybody here at AFL Tonight and at ArenaFan.com sends our condolences out to all the families that were greatly affected by this horrible, horrible incident. And we hope that you find the strength and courage to be able to go on with your lives and to remember those who were taken from us in a very positive manner, and remember them for the rest of your lives, because this is the best way to remember somebody and for their life force to be carried on. Again, our condolences out to everybody at over at Virginia Tech, and may you continue with this. May just carry on and have the strength. So, everybody here at AFL Tonight, I want to thank you for joining us. We will be back next week here at the same time, same podcast place, same podcast channel. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Enjoy this week's games, have fun, and watch the rebounds off the nets. See you next week. Bye-bye.
ArenaFan.com. celebrating 10 years as the Internet's complete arena football resource.
Mission Control, 2049er, transmission concluded.